It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, folks, it is your old buddy Luke Clayton, and you know what? Right here on KETR every week on Fridays and then again on Saturdays, we have the opportunity to talk hunting and fishing and talk about the outdoors. And we cover everything from catching bullfrogs on a plastic worm to hunting elk. But this week, we've got a show that I think you're really going to enjoy. Now, Mr. Rick Hernscher is a goose guide, actually a waterfowl guide, ducks and geese, but he cut his teeth hunting geese down on the Katy Prairie back in the day when there was tons of geese down there. He knows how to hunt geese. But did you know that you don't have to go to the southeast Texas coast or the Panhandle or Knox County to hunt geese? Now, not to say there's not great goose hunting there, and I know, but right here in northeast Texas, we got some real good goose hunting. The areas that Rick hunts is roughly, say, from Ennis, Texas, back toward Waco. And we're going to pick Rick's brain. I bet you're going to learn that there's some good goose hunting close to home. Rick, thanks a lot for spending some time with us, buddy.
It's a pleasure, sir.
I have visited with you enough. I kind of know your program, what you're doing there, and I think I hit the nail on the head with the fact that you don't have to drive across the state to kill geese, do you?
No, sir. Due to the change in population down on the Gulf Coast, urban sprawl, and drought, water conditions, farming conditions, the geese have had to adapt.
Yep, they've had to switch their patterns, and I think it's safe to say that 20 years ago, not nearly the numbers of geese stopped off up in this part of the world. By this part of the world, I'm talking about northeast Texas, the big green fields from that area from Waco to Ennis. 20 years ago, there were geese that would stop by, but nowhere near the numbers of today, right?
No, sir. It's kind of like a grocery store. If you go into a grocery store and you get only half of what you need, I don't think you'll go back there. And it's the same with the crop situation down on the coast and other areas. If the groceries aren't there, the amount of geese that migrate every year, they're going to have to change their patterns.
You bet. And right now, the geese are feeding primarily, is it mostly winter wheat that they're on?
The geese are feeding on oats. Mm-hmm. They're feeding on wheat. They're in pastures that the cows keep low-cut green grasses. And even I've seen geese out in bull weed and brush, and just they're eating whatever they can eat right now to survive due to, you know, they've got to have the groceries.
Well, Rick, what do you think about all the precipitation, the snow and ice up north? That ought to, I'm thinking that might fortify them down here, keep them down a little bit longer. Of course, the snow goose, there's a conservation season that goes, what, through, well, it may be into March, is that right?
It basically closes down about the second to third week in March. Our better shooting for the conservation season starts from the end of the regular season and goes right up to the first part of March. Mm-hmm. And at that time, when them geese are ready to go, they don't leave anything behind, and they're headed back north.
That's true. And folks, for those of you that may not know, gosh, I don't know, it's been 10 or 12 years ago, the federal biologist saw fit to have a conservation goose season. And you know, Rick, this is the time when electronic calls can be used. There's quite a few shooting hours are extended a little bit, and the whole reason for it is to reduce the numbers of snow geese, because they are, you know, they're devastating on the tundra. A goose, when he's feeding, he pulls the plant up, roots and all, and there were so many of them, you know, a decade or so back, up that were hitting that tundra so bad that they were causing a lot of damage, weren't they?
Yes, and it's not only the snow goose, but as it rolls around, the snow geese affect the other animals also, the ducks and geese that also roost in the same areas and nest in the same areas. And with the conservation seasons, this gave us an opportunity to more or less, with the population of the snow geese, you're actually saving the tundra by about a square inch at a time, it seems like.
Right. Well, Rick, I'll make this statement, and I've talked to you enough that you agree with me. Nothing gets my hackles up any more than somebody referring to a snow goose as a tundra maggot. That is a name that a lot of people have put on snow geese like they're inferior animals, inferior game animals. A snow goose is excellent eating. You got to know what you're doing to kill them consistently. They're a quality animal. I mean, not that you could put a judgment on them, but I really don't like to hear people refer to snow geese as tundra maggots. They're a great game bird, aren't they, Rick?
Yes, sir. And they, if you are a hunter and you've got to put your time in, they are one of the most challenging birds. Picture hunting a wild turkey that can fly 60 miles an hour.
I have never had it heard it put quite like that, but you are exactly right. I hunt turkeys a lot, Rick, and they've got the best eyesight. Well, I dare say if you, the animal biologist, would check the snow goose, compare him to a turkey, you're exactly right. And they do. They get up and they leave. Now, let's kind of paint the picture, Rick, for our listeners, how the hunts unfold. Now, you hunt a lot of conservation lakes. Now,
yes, sir. We've got choice lakes. Geese are very, very smart. That's why they're populated. Safety is in numbers. And the conservation lakes I have are clear. There are no trees. There are no brush around them. These birds have to be able to see. And as Mother Nature has helped me out a lot, on two of my lakes, I have a beaver. And this beaver keeps all the willow trees trimmed down for me and everything. And then in August, I go in and mow. I cut down all the tall grass, anything that would obstruct their vision. That way they're not worried about predators. And then we go in and set up and have a good shoot, hopefully.
You bet. And the way that the hunts unfold, Rick, is, you know, you've told me, and I've hunted geese other places like this too. Ducks, the way a duck hunt goes, you know, you set your decoys up, get in there way before daylight, and then the shooting, the good shooting usually is within 30 minutes of daylight, and then there's a little flurry of them coming back. But on the geese, you put up your full-body decoys out, get there early, of course, but a lot of this shooting is birds that you don't want to run them off the water. That's their nightly home. You want to shoot them when they're coming back, don't you?
Yes, sir. I tell a lot of my hunters to bring their closet and pack a big lunch, because mm-hmm. we're out there from 9 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon.
Oh, man, and that makes a very peaceful time getting in one of those layout blinds, and you'll usually have plenty of notice when those geese are coming. You'll hear them or see them from pretty good distance, won't you, Rick?
Yes, sir. We've got a few guys that you can tell they're well relaxed when you start hearing the snoring, but when the geese start coming and the calling starts going on, they come out of that sleep right there, and I make sure that all my hunters keep the hoods down on the layout blinds, and me and my partner, or me myself, we're the only ones that watch the birds, because mm-hmm. if they do see your face,
it's over with.
It's over with. They're gone.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, a lot of our listeners read my outdoor column. It runs in a bunch of papers across the state, but locally up in the Greenville Herald Banner, a lot of our listeners listen up there. Folks, I'm going to have a story soon. I'm in print with Rick, and I'm going to get out and hunt with him and hopefully get some good pictures and give some tips. Some of these things he's talking about, I'm going to try to relate to you in print in the newspapers here in the next couple of weeks. Well, Rick, the cool thing is to me that that there's an abundance of snow geese. Now, do you shoot any white fronts or Canada geese? I'm sure there's going to be some mixed in, right?
Yes, I've got a lease I acquired that has two conservation lakes on it. One conservation lake right now is holding 1,500 to 2,000 white birds. And then the other lake is holding primarily anywhere from 150 to 200 plus specks and cacklers.
Oh yeah, and the cackler is got your I've always called them honkers, the big greater Canada geese, and then the lessers. But the cacklers are they're about the size of a mallard, aren't they? A
yes,
drake.
Sir. Yes, sir. They're the smaller species, just like a Ross goose.
Mm-hmm.
It's considered part of the snow, so except it's just a subspecies. It's a smaller bird.
Right. Do you have any places that that offer where the greater Canadas are hanging out?
No, sir. We don't get any giants.
Yep.
We get some the moderate size mm-hmm. Canadians, and then the cacklers. And other than that, it would be the white fronts.
Yeah. Well, there's no. I like to eat all type of geese, and I marinate them in Coca-Cola and soy sauce. And honestly, I've been taught how to turn a snow goose breast half into a filet mignon almost. But truly, the specks are the everybody says are the best eating. A Canada next. And then the snow goose. Isn't that basically what you've always learned?
To me, the speck out of all the geese you're going to shoot are going to be really the largest, even though we do kill some snows that are pretty good size. But as far as that goes, if any of them are prepared correctly, they're all the same.
You're right. The snow goose is just as good as any of them. Well, I'm sure happy to make your acquaintance, Rick, and I want to hook you up with all of our listeners. There's a lot of outdoor folks listening to us right now, and there's a lot of us that don't have the opportunity to go to the Panhandle or down on the Katy Prairie or down around El Campo and those old places where we used to hunt geese, and we can do it right here by the within a close proximity. But you meet your hunters there in Ennis at the Whataburger, right there on I-45, don't you?
Yes, sir. Yes,
one
sir.
Good place, or you can meet them in Corsicana. Well, folks are listening to us all over Northeast Texas, so let's do this. I know that your website is Family Affair Guide Service, Family Affair Guide Service, and folks could go to Facebook and connect with you there also, couldn't they?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How about a phone number for people to give you a buzz and talk goose hunting with you, Rick?
My home phone number is 972-935-9229, and my cell number is 214-536-6425.
Awesome. Well, Rick, right here at KETR.org, our shows are archived, and folks can go back and listen to shows from a year ago right there at KETR.org. Just click on Outdoors with Luke Clayton, and we'll have a link there to Family Fair Guide Service where people can learn more about goose hunting, and I really do appreciate you being with us.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Folks, that wraps up our show today. I want you to know how much I appreciate you being with us each week. I want to remind you that today's show is made possible by the Dallas Safari Club. The website for the Dallas Safari Club is biggame.org. Also made possible by the American Hunting Lease Association. You can go online to ahuntinglease.org and learn all about the American Hunting Lease Association. These folks offer liability insurance for your hunting lease. Also made possible by Sniper Hog Lights. You can go online to sniperhawglights.com. Made possible by Texas Motor Cars in Addison, Texas, a new way to buy cars. You can go online to texasmotorcars.com. And remember, folks, you can always tune in to catfishradio.com, and there you can listen to the archive of the hour-long show that we do each week. This is with Larry Wysoon and Bill Dance. Tune in right here next week. We're going to have some more fun.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.